Good morning. A few months ago, a married couple texted me. They want my counsel. They informed me their granddaughter, she wants to kill herself. Now, her name is Taryn. Taryn. She's 16, and she is a believer, a Christian. The problem, what? She continually telling herself, I'm worthless. I fail again. And one verse that she's kind of obsessing on is Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. There Jesus said, you need to be perfect, just as your Father in heaven, he's perfect. So she's convinced she's unacceptable, unlovable. She's despondent and wants to die. My counsel? People who want to die, the solution is typically not simple. It's complicated, multi-layered. Me, expert? Not. But I know one thing. People who are despondent, they need assurance of what? That God, he loves them no matter what. That they have value, true worth. Now, I asked them, Taryn, does she know that she's accepted in the Beloved, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. Now, the Beloved, that means who? God, his Son, Jesus Christ. Perfect. That's who. Bible says none but Christ. Jesus only. Remember, God, he said, this is my beloved Son. In him, I'm well pleased. Satisfied perfectly, completely. It's important to recognize that Matthew, chapter 5, verse 48, that Jesus said when? Before the cross, before the tomb, before the resurrection, before the ascension, before Jesus sat on the right hand of the Father in heaven, and before Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came. Wow. Those all are huge events. Do you suppose that after all these things happen, that everything stay just the same? Change nothing? Imagine a timeline from the beginning all the way to the cross. People can have a relationship with God, right? But now, since Pentecost, several things have changed. One big change. What? God, He baptized every one of us in water? No. This is a dry baptism. Water, not a drop. But the word baptize means what? Immerse. Immerse. God, He baptized every believer. Not in water, but in the Son of His love, Jesus. Now that, my friends, is new. Do you know that David, the king, for David, that was not true. For Abraham, for Moses, for Elijah, Daniel, that was never true. The result for us, we, folks, have something wonderful far beyond relationship with God. Now we all are included in Christ. We are in permanent, inseparable spiritual union with Christ. It's two joined together as one. Except in matters of deity. Let me illustrate. This envelope represents Jesus Christ. Okay. This beautiful figure represents who? Me. Ernie. Okay. I, like you, have been immersed in Christ. Realize that anywhere that envelope goes, Ernie goes too. You take that envelope, toss it in the flames, and Ernie is where? In the flames. Tie envelope to a rock, toss that rock in the river, and to Ernie, what happens? Ernie gets wet. The point, the things that are true about Christ now apply to me as well. The Bible says that Jesus was crucified. And the Bible says, I am crucified with Christ. Now, the Father, he looks at Ernie, but he can't see Ernie without beholding his precious Son, Jesus. Union with Christ. The Bible says, just as the Father, he loves the Son. Same, he loves you and me. That is so profound, so wonderful, and so important to remember. Now, Taryn, her grandmother, tells me, oh yes, we have taught her that. And I answer, okay, maybe she heard that, but I suspect that not true is penetrated her heart. Why? Because if that truth truly grips her heart, she say, I'm worthless? Never. I'd like to give you a little backstory on what I just did. About every month, the church that we go to in Lynchburg, the church we fellowship with, is Living Word Deaf Church. It is a deaf church. The sermons are all in sign. The prayers are in sign language. The pastor is profoundly deaf himself. And about every month, the deaf men try to get together for the deaf men's prayer breakfast. We decided not to meet in July. Why? Because everybody had plans, vacations, trips, out of state. So, theoretically, they get it all out of their system, right? So, we set up the next one for August 10th, and I offered to have it at our house. Last time we had it at our house, it went great. We had maybe 16 guys from three different deaf churches, and they all loved Karen's homemade quiche and her cinnamon roll. They loved it. Most of these things, it's some deaf guy taking charge of it and some guy. Not the deaf part, but the guy part. They all bring chips and soda and donuts. Okay? So they love this. But what happened? Well, as providence would happen, it didn't turn out quite the way we planned. This was a great opportunity because with hosting this also came the privilege of giving the devotional message. Okay, so I'm going to give the devotional. I'm looking forward to this because one of the things we really want in this ministry among the deaf is I want to be able to teach the Word of God in ASL to the deaf. So this could be like, and for 7 years I have not had the chance to do this. This could be like an open door for me, right? All right, well, theoretically, they're all supposed to have gotten it out of their system in July, but August 10th comes around, and that's the message I shared, but only three guys showed. Only three guys. And two of them, all right, a guy named Mike and a guy named Chris, they grew up together. They're both deaf. They both married hearing gals, and these hearing gals are certified ASL interpreters. So, you know, foursome, they do everything together. Well, over the past couple of years, both of these deaf ladies left. I'm sorry, both of these hearing ladies, ASL interpreters, they left their deaf husbands. They're both divorced now. And what had just happened is these two ladies teamed up, hearing ladies, and they entered uninvited into Chris's house while he's out cold, asleep, early in the morning, and they rifled through his belongings to pick up anything she might have left behind and anything that was joint possession that she felt entitled to. He's deaf, so he's sleeping through the whole thing, but her daughter from a previous marriage, 20-something, okay, she was very opposed to it. She thought this was very wrong. She got the whole thing on videotape. Her mom going through his house, taking whatever she wants, okay? So that's where these guys' minds are this morning as I'm giving this devotional, this breakfast. And it's a very hurtful thing. I can understand it. They wanted me to watch the video with them and see what I thought about it. So I sympathized, I listened, I watched, and then I did give that devotional. But the way it turned out, after really looking forward to it, I was discouraged. Surprised? Well, maybe not so much. My mom used to quote something to us from the old Scottish poet Robert Burns, the guy who wrote Auld Lang Syne. The best laid plans of mice and men gang after glee. Like Murphy's Law, they often go wrong. And with deaf ministry, let me tell you, they go wrong in strange, unexpected ways. I mean, you had stuff come up in our old ministry at the Bible school, but nothing like this, let me tell you. Our deaf pastor, John Weibel, he's born deaf, he's about 60 now, and he's been in deaf ministry himself for about 25 years, and he was a guest at our house not too long ago, and he said, deaf ministry is exceptionally difficult, uniquely difficult. Now, I put together a list of seven reasons why deaf ministry is so hard. And I'm not going to spend the time on that. That would take up all our time. But there's one at the bottom of the list. I saved it for last, but it probably should be first. We have a supernaturally powerful adversary. We're in a warfare. And a lot of things that go wrong, well, it's just providence, it's just happenstance, it's coincidence. But some of them are that guy. There's just no way around it. All right, so one of the things we want to do in our ministry among the deaf is we're working towards, I want to be able to teach the deaf the Bible in ASL. They have teachers. I haven't had much opportunity to do that because, you know, the pastor himself is a church planter. He's a dynamic man of God. And he's in the pulpit every Sunday. And when he's not, there are other perfectly capable people in signing to give that message. Now, I think there are gaps. I think they're lacking in some New Testament truths that are vital, like our union with Christ, some of these deeper theological things. And I've been teaching 40 years. I figured that out recently. You know, I was 26 years a teacher at New Tribes Bible Institute in Wisconsin. I had the formal title, but 7 years before that, I was teaching in the church I was part of. And I was called upon to teach as a student in the training. So 7 years before, I was a teacher at New Tribes, and I've been teaching since, too. So about 40 years, all told. And folks, the Lord has taught me some things in that time, some things that are needed in the body of Christ. I mean, it would be pretty shameful if he hadn't over 40 years, wouldn't you think? And so I've got this burden to teach biblical truth to the deaf. We know, and I've shared it before, 98% unreached with the gospel. The deaf, even in this country, in 2024, are considered 98% unreached with the gospel of Christ. But what about that 2%? That 2%, I don't think they're getting all the realms of biblical truth, all the treasures of God's word that they need. So I've got that burden on my heart. We're working towards that. It may still be a while off. Another thing we are endeavoring to do in our deaf ministry that we've had more opportunities at is ministering one-on-one. There's a lot of needy people among the deaf. Come from broken families. They've gone through emotional trauma, etc. They felt isolated in this world dominated by the caring majority. So there are needs, and we've been able to minister one-on-one to several, like this gal, April, I've told you about before. She was saved, I believe. She says she got saved in 2006, but she was a meth addict. After her mom died, it got worse. She was dependent on her mom, and it got to the point where she was incarcerated for 30 days for distributing meth and for possession. I was her character witness in court. I had that privilege, and we've ministered to her in several ways, and yeah, we won't take any credit for this. God did a work, but this is her today. She had lost her two children. She had two girls by two different dads, lost custody of them completely. She got that back. She's been clean for about 4 years now. And she's doing okay. She's struggling financially. She's struggling financially. Just got her Social Security through. But she's not where we'd like to see her spiritually. But that gives you an idea of the other side of deaf ministry that we're involved in. And then another is we are making videos for the deaf. Did one a few years back in connection with Liberty University and our deaf church. It was a video presentation of my book, Growing in Grace, which is out there on the table. Growing in Grace for the Deaf. And that was kind of a learning project. We didn't really know what we're doing. Since then, we're involved in another one which is to take the King of Glory by Paul Bramson, Rock International, and recreate that in ASL, American Sign Language, for the deaf and visual vernacular. That's visual vernacular is just visual gestural communication. Now that we would like to be farther along on that than we are now. We've been working for years on this, and we've been working on just one episode. We want to do a chronological series, about 15 videos, but we're still working on the first one to release that. I'll explain that in a minute. The first one we chose to produce is called Where is the Lamb? And it's mainly about Abraham, the call of Abraham, the birth of Isaac, and Abraham offering Isaac on Mount Moriah. And that was to be our pilot, our first episode, even though it's out of order chronologically. I know that. We didn't begin with creation. But it was going to be the promo also to get folks interested in the rest. Now, lots of problems, lots of setbacks. And you have to think the adversary is involved. When these things happen to such an intensity and such an extent, you have to think about that supernaturally powerful adversary. But Satan is powerful, but he's not all powerful, is he? No, we serve a God who is the all-powerful one, and he's infinitely more powerful above Satan and all the principalities and powers and thrones and dominions and spiritual wickedness and high places and the rulers of this darkness of this world. And that God delights in and specializes in taking frail earthen vessels with our meager resources and in adverse circumstances and turning them into triumph that truly impacts eternity. He specializes in that. And it keeps us in the ideal place, which is the place of absolute dependence. And so what do? Well, he's a supernaturally powerful adversary, but we are supernatural people. And we have supernatural weapons. And one of those is prayer. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through the pulling down of strongholds. So, if you folks have any desire to be a part of this ministry we're doing, boy, we could use you on those front lines, on the battlefront of prayer. We could use that. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So individual prayer, corporate prayer. We would invite that. We really need it. Now, I want to tell you about a big development. Now, this is not all going to be an update on our ministry. I'm trying to get some spiritual truth from the Word across as well. But one big development is, okay, we got this gal, Delitha. Now, she was hard of hearing all her life. And she recently had significant hearing loss so that she is now functionally deaf, beyond hard of hearing. She's deaf. She's a music performance major at Liberty. All right? Well, how is she doing? Now she's doing music production. She graduated from Liberty. She's doing music production, but she was a signer for us. All right, Talitha has a very strong, winsome on-screen presence. And she's very expressive. And she's very good at ASL. She had to record. She recorded Where is the Lamb from my script the first time all the way through, had to do some parts over, okay? But then we had to put a green screen in behind so we could add visual images. I didn't know that. I learned that. Got to have a green screen behind her. So she had to do it again. And then she had to do it a third time, the whole thing. Well, what happened, folks, is the third time she did it, and here's the thing. Delitha, very talented, very likable, very independent. She recorded all this in her own studio set up in her basement, and we were not invited. I should not have allowed that. I should have insisted, because I never saw any of these until they were in the can, so to speak, until they were recorded. So the third time she did it, I looked at it when I finally got it. Oh, my heart sank. I don't think we can use this. Because I had been talking about, okay, we're ready now for the visual, the video editor. We're ready to run it by Paul Bramson, see if it's ready to go out with Rock's name on it. And I think, I don't know, but I think she must have got the idea. She's got to have a more sophisticated approach and look. So she changed her outfit. All right. She put on makeup first time. All right, you know, I didn't ask her to do that. I would rather she didn't, but no biggie. But then she changed her outfit, and the new top was a little loose and a little low cut. And it was fine. It was perfectly modest if she was just standing still. But in sign language, you're not going to be standing still. And so as she bent and moved, it revealed a little more of Talitha than is ideal. That's all. It was a distraction. I thought, oh, we can't use this. I ran it by Paul, and Paul had reservations. Paul Bramson, you know Paul. He had reservations, but nothing was adamant. One thing is Paul really liked the way Talitha came across on screen. And Paul's got a lot more experience with video than I do, tons more. I love the way she comes across on screen, and I don't know ASL, Paul said. But she's expressive. She's got a charisma. So he wanted to use Talitha. Problem is, Talitha's gone. She moved to Serbia to pursue her music production career. Don't ask me how a deaf gal can do music production, but Neil, not Neil, Jason, you know, you can sight read, you can hear the music in your head if you're a good sight reader. You see the music score, and you can hear it in your head. She's got music memory, so, and she feels vibrations. Somehow she's able to do it. But she's gone to Serbia, and anyway, I think she's mentally gone from the project anyway after redoing it three times. You know, so Talitha is gone. So what do I start thinking, who else can we get to sign this, to do it over? And we're plugged into a deaf community there in Lynchburg, but that's not as easy as it might sound to get a new signer from among these deaf folks. Now, we're pretty picky. So I looked around, nobody. All right, meanwhile, I'm very conscious of the clock ticking. I'm not getting any younger. We got to get this thing out. So, and Paul loves the way Talitha comes across. Everybody does. I ran it by a few deaf friends. Not one mentioned the wardrobe thing. But everybody is unanimous. Talitha's great. A few things with her signing. But so what do I do? So, folks, I caved into pragmatism. I said, all right, God knows about this problem, and God is not providing me with another signer. And everybody loves Talitha. So I decided to go forward, kind of sweep that under the rug, hope we'd just get by with it. But I lost some of my enthusiasm for the project. I did. Meanwhile, enter a guy named Andrew Harmon. He's our video tech and editor, and he and I are working together remotely to find perfect visual images to go with. Now, this is kind of touchy because Andrew's experience, Paul Bramson's experience, is we got some great visuals, and the deaf are a visual people. We can dazzle them with a... You don't want to do that with a deaf presentation. With all their experience, and not really familiar with the deaf world. You see, ASL is a language that's very pictorial. When done right, you don't need a lot of visual graphic images. They create pictures in the deaf mind with signing, with visual vernacular. It's not pantomime. Don't confuse it with pantomime, but it's kind of like pantomime in that you make the pictures. And the deaf, many of them have experienced isolation much of their life. So what truly engages the deaf is someone who speaks the language of their heart, maybe just one-on-one, one individual to another, signing to them. And there's a connection, a human connection. And it honors their sign language to make that the focus. And anything else just can detract from that. I hope you get what I'm saying there. So finally, I got connected with a service called Sign On Connect, where you pay a certain amount and you have 5-6 sessions with a deaf person signing remotely. You know, it's a video chat. And it gives you practice in ASL and an opportunity to meet more deaf folks. And so I met these two, and I didn't go into it looking for them, but these two agreed to be signers for us, to do it over what Talitha had done. And we recorded them a couple months ago. Got to go back and redo one in Alabama with Trey, the guy on the right. And they, like Talitha, are very expressive and a good on-screen presence. There was a rapport I developed with them immediately, and they caught the vision. Okay, let me tell you what Trey said to me. My first chat with Trey. And I'm telling him, you know, you converse, he asks you why, you're a hearing guy, why do you want to learn sign language? And so I tell him, I want to ultimately teach the Bible to the deaf in ASL. And Trey, he just, whoa. And he sat back and he teared up. And he said, that touches my heart. He said, we need you now, we need you here. It's down where he is in Alabama. He said, we have no one teaching the Bible in ASL. Now, we live in kind of a privileged area for the deaf. We go to a church that has a lot of deaf people, has connections with Liberty University and the ASL department there. But that's a unique situation. That's not true everywhere. There is a dearth, a famine of the Word of God for the deaf elsewhere. So anyway, that's where we're going now. We want to redo Trey and get this thing out with the visuals. And time passes by, and we're thinking, maybe we won't be able to do that whole 15-episode series. Maybe time won't afford us that luxury. So now we're looking, Paul's advice, we're looking at just making this one video more self-contained. In a chronological approach, we're setting the context, we're building one upon another, finally leading up to a clear gospel presentation. But we can't afford to do that maybe now. Maybe we'll only just produce this one video and won't be able to finish the series. So we incorporated, we added Romans 3, 21 through 24, as I read early in the first hour, added that gospel to the first video. So that's where we're at with that. And either way, what happened was we, Karen and I, went upstate Virginia to an assembly conference, and we met with Paul, and we asked Mark Shelley to weigh in on it. And in fellowship with Mark and with Paul, we agreed we can't put this one out with Talitha, at least not with Rock International's name on it. So that's where we're at now. And again, I'd appreciate the prayer. Now, I mentioned beyond, now, this presentation, Where is the Lamb, and that chronological recreation of King of Glory, that is mainly evangelistic. That's an outreach to the unsaved deaf, the 98%. But the 2%, again, that's my heart, is to ground them in grace, to build them up in the faith. And again, I think we have something to contribute there. One other thing I'll mention, another difficulty among the deaf is they're often, I don't want to make a blanket statement, but often the deaf are challenged in conceptual thinking, abstract. A precept, or a percept rather, is there's a concrete item like that light or that bookcase, and I have a sign, I have an image in my mind. That's a percept. But a concept is an abstract thing like love, like justice, like democracy. These are abstract, and often, not always, but often the deaf have a challenging time with that. And one of the reasons is many of them go through language deprivation. In those early crucial formative years, 1 through 5, they don't have a language to communicate. Especially if it's a deaf child raised by hearing parents and they don't know what to do and they don't know sign language. So they're without a language in those crucial developmental years, and at least a language deprivation which affects their identity, affects their cognitive abilities, their personality. And so communicating abstract things is a real challenge. An example is after these years of learning sign language, I still haven't found in ASL an established sign to distinguish between soul and spirit. You often ask, what's the sign for soul? Well, that's the sign for spirit. Yeah, I know. Soul, spirit, same thing. But biblically, I distinguish those two. All right, and another one is this idea of union with Christ. I've asked several deaf people, deaf friends, I've looked at all my ASL apps, what is a sign, the ASL sign, for union? And they usually show me this. Well, that's a sign for relationship. There's a connection, but they're not the same, folks. Okay, union with Christ is I am actually in intimate, permanent, spiritual union with Christ. And that is a positional truth, a blessed reality. It's true whether we experience it or not, but we experience it when we add faith to that, when we learn of it and add faith. And as I said in the first part, that is something David never knew. That's something Abraham could not say. I'm in union with Christ. I'm dead indeed unto sin because I've been baptized into Christ, into his death, burial, and resurrection. I'm seated with him in heavenly places, as Jason brought out in the first hour. Raised together with him, seated with him in heavenly places. Several verses that we could point to. Romans 6:3, baptized into his death. Like that envelope, he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit, two, merged as one. That's beyond relationship. We are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. throughout Paul's epistles in particular, you find what I call oneness words. Okay, you take the Greek word soon, and I'm not going to give you the whole Greek lesson here, don't worry. But take the Greek word soon, and it means together with, together along with. All right, that's a word all by itself, but Paul made it a prefix and fused it together with other Greek words. He almost coined his own expressions, made his own words, and I call them oneness words. Synthoptomai, buried together with him. Symphutoi, planted together with him. Synestarothe, crucified together with Christ. And you find them throughout Romans, Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians. Here's a couple in Romans, and these speak about how all creation groans together as one. But usually these soon words or oneness words are describing the believer in union with Christ. And it is absolutely unique to this age of grace, folks. It is a wonderful reality. It ought to thrill our hearts. As soon as Aromai, again, crucified together with him, made alive together with him, seated together with those are from Ephesians. The earlier ones were from Romans. And the NLT, the New Living Translation, is not my favorite translation. It's more of a paraphrase. But I like their translation of Ephesians 2:6. It said, all because we are one with Jesus Christ. Let that just sweep over you, folks. We get the value of that when we study it, know it, understand it, believe it, appropriate it to ourselves. F.P. Meyer said, to be in union with Christ is to be enfolded in all the dimensions of his relationship with the Father as a son of his love. I think that's beautifully put. All right, so I'll bring it to a close now. Paul also said, folks, that we are stewards of the mysteries of God. As children of God, disciples, followers of Christ in this age of grace, we have been graced with truths far beyond what David ever knew, Daniel, Abraham, Moses, Isaiah, Elijah. We ought to treasure that. We ought to devote ourselves to gaining some mastery of these truths and then passing them along because they are needed in the body of Christ. They are certainly needed among the deaf. They're needed among the hearing as well. It's the minority of Christians who know these things. So I would urge you, I'd recommend that, like Henry David Thoreau said, I want to suck the marrow out of life. Now you suck the marrow out of these things and gain some mastery and pass them on to others. You know, 2 Kings chapter 7, I'll close with this. 2 Kings chapter 7, it talks about these four lepers, and they're outside the city of Samaria. The city of Samaria has been under siege by the Assyrians. And they're starving. They're starving in the city, this Jewish city. And these four lepers, nobody wants to come near them. They're the unclean. And they finally decide, we're going to stay here and starve. But listen, the enemy is camped out not far from here. Let's go there and they'll capture us for sure. And they may put us to death. But if they just take us captive, at least we'll be fed. And so they go right into the Assyrian camp and they find them all dead. The angel of the Lord has slain all the Assyrian army in one night and they left behind their grub. They left behind all their provisions. So these four lepers feast and feast, and then one of them says, we do not well. Because the city there is starving. And these people in Samaria, in the city, had not treated them well. They could have turned their backs on them and justified that in their hearts. They said, we do not well. We got to go back and tell them. Folks, I have incredible riches in Christ. And we do not well if we don't devote ourselves to learning about them, living in them ourselves, and making them available to others as we can. Now let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we so thank you for these rich truths. Help us, Father, to come to an understanding of all it means to be in union with Christ. Certainly help us to enjoy and maximize our relationship with God through Him, but also to realize the depths of these truths that are germane to and unique to the child of faith in this dispensation of grace. And now we ask you to dismiss us with your blessing, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.